here's the beautiful thing about it. You can develop an internal motivation. You can develop an internal drive.
Winning habits, winning routines, and a winning mindset.
You're the main character of your own life story.
Welcome to the Susan Sly Project, where entrepreneurs rule, startups launch, and the side hustle becomes the main hustle. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Susan Sly.
So I have a question for you. What would your life look like if you moved across the world and you started from the very beginning and built up not just one business, but multiple businesses with an eye on what is possible and a heart of passion about service? My guest today is amazing. He's an entrepreneur. He's an investor. He's the founder and CEO of Remarkables Enterprises and the founder of Hawthorne and Huckleberry Startups. And the other thing I want to say about him, we were chatting just before the show, is he gets it. He understands what it's like to start from absolutely nothing, to pursue your dreams, and to do so in a way that you really help others rise up. And so, George Purdley, I want to welcome you to the show, to Raw and Real Entrepreneurship. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm feeling great. Thank you so much. I do appreciate it.
Let's jump in. So how does someone who's born in Brazil, you know, lives in Hungary, how did they end up in New Zealand?
Yeah, that's interesting because also New Zealand always been inside me for unknown reasons. I don't know how to explain it. When I was a kid, I didn't have internet or any kind of, how can you know about New Zealand? Zena was actually one of Zena the Warrior Princess.
Yes, that was so, a great show.
It was. And I watched and say, oh my goodness, I think all the women look like Zena. And then, so I'm very keen. And then as you grew and started having internet, that feeling that push you and draw you to somewhere gets increased. So I decide, okay, I need, you know, I will start to travel in the world. I'll start from New Zealand. And then, yeah, I pretty much and hop to the plane, come to New Zealand. And, you know, when you have that feeling that you're back to home and you feel nice and comfortable and happy, I felt that straight away. I look like aside and say, you know, I don't think I'll come back. So I grab my phone and say, hey, Dad, Mom, sorry, I found my place. I won't come back. But then I need to start all over from the zero. You need to learn the language. You need to, you know, find a job. And because the way that I came was tourist, and I wasn't planning to work or anything. And I say, okay, so how can I change those things? So contact immigration, say, hey, things changed. I want to stay. And then find an employer, you know. And my first job in New Zealand, I was actually quite happy. I was the assistant of the housekeeper. I wasn't the housekeeper. I was the assistant of the housekeeper. So to get the point that I was the housekeeper, it took me months and months because I came from an IT background, from my office, and it's quite physical, the job that I need to perform. And that I did so many other jobs in New Zealand that I never thought that I would be doing it.
And George, you come from an IT background, you follow your heart, you end up in New Zealand, and then you're an assisted housekeeper. So many people wouldn't humble themselves, but one of the things that just in looking at your social media and talking to you, you didn't look at being an assistant housekeeper as a downgrade to your life whatsoever. How did you, you know, has that always been your attitude, or did you learn to appreciate things at a different level, no matter what life was throwing at you?
I think, to be honest, a little bit of both. Always I knew that it won't be like this forever. So I always trying to pursue, okay, I need to back to IT. And finally, actually happened, I back to IT. It was interesting because I got in a comfort zone. So all my dreams about business and great achievements got stuck. And it wasn't true until COVID. And then actually a little bit before COVID, my wife came to me and said, look, you need to look this show. And I say, what's this, baby? And she sent me Undercover Billionaire with Glenn Stearns. And I was like, wow, that's the real deal. That's, you know, and Glenn ever since has been like kind of my platonic mentor. He don't know. I know. So I start to follow Glenn and what he says and how he, you know, because he came from a very tough background as well. So how could I change my mind and start to see my situation as a platform to grow? How can I use those situations to actually achieve things and don't see like, oh God, I'm so sad. I'm here housekeeping, I'm cleaning bathrooms, you know, or digging holes in the middle of nowhere. So I never thought actually the situation define who am I. Always like, keep pushing. No, I define the situation. I do my choices. You can always choose be as Charlie, Captain Charlie Plum. He's great. I sent him an email and he replied because I was very, very down at some point, especially when one of my one of my jobs that I had, he didn't go so well. So end up that I've been sent to a place that I don't want it, that I don't like it, and was so sad and was really struggling to me to see the positive of that. What? How can I do? And then I found Charlie, Captain Charlie Plum, and I say, hey, send him an email. That's what I'm passing through. And then he replied, and that was at the flame of hope. And then I start to follow what he says. And, you know, so those guys, even though they not even realized that a guy in New Zealand was, you know, following and having that mentorship moment, they change things. Mm. And but it always comes to yourself, you know, because all the information is out there. But if you don't take action and do something to it, you just, you know, you're just stuck in there and you don't move anywhere. So you need to use this information and take action and move forwards, onwards.
I hope everyone listening is at this in the same place I am. It's this peace in my soul as you speak, George. And no, I did not pay George to talk about Glenn. So many of you who are listening know Glenn Stearns is a dear friend of mine. And Glenn is going to be keynoting at a virtual summit that I'm hosting in January. My team tells me when it is, but Glenn is his story of what he endured, creating a company, losing a company, then getting diagnosed with cancer, beating cancer, then all the ups and downs. And Glenn is remarkable, an undercover billionaire. So I don't know if you know this, George. You know in the scene where Glenn is really sick and he's coughing and hacking in his
truck? I was worried.
Yeah.
I was like, oh so my goodness.
We're watching that. And my youngest daughter, her name is Emery. Emery's like, Mama, will you please text Mrs. Stearns and find out if Mr. Stearns is okay? So I'm texting Mindy, Glenn's wife, and the show obviously was recorded before. I'm like, Mindy, Emery's having a moment. And Mindy texts me back. She said he actually got really sick. He was hospitalized and they were worried that he was that sick. And that show is amazing. And I love what you said, George, about it's one thing to have access to all of these things, but to not take action on it. And I want to have a raw and real conversation because I'm an immigrant in America. You're an immigrant in New Zealand. And sometimes as immigrants, we see the beauty that other people take for granted. You come to a country, you're not afraid. We owned a family restaurant and I cleaned bathrooms. I've been a housekeeper. I know it's disgusting the things that people do, but your attitude was, this isn't forever. This is my stepping stone, right? And what advice would you give to someone who maybe is listening? We're in 125 countries and maybe they're an immigrant in their country, or even if they've moved to a new city, what advice would you give them when they're first getting started somewhere new?
First, keep hope. Keep that flame inside of you. Never give up. for more than it's tempting people looking backwards and say, oh, maybe I should back. Never, not even have this thought. You need to keep moving, keep pushing forward. If you believe that you're in the right place, you're right in the right place, you won't come back. And it does happen. I'm in New Zealand for 9, going to 10 years. I never came back, even, and I need to see my parents, but I want to bring my parents because that feeling that go back, it doesn't match me. So we need to keep moving forwards. So it's not easy. My first paycheck that I had was 12 dollars an hour. It was like I saw my paycheck and say, oh my goodness, how can I pay things? How can I, you know, survive in here? And I live in Queenstown, and Queenstown is so expensive, you know. And then you go outside to have a coffee, and it's a $5 coffee. $5 coffee, it can be, you know, hurting for someone that, you know, working so hard. So take actions. Don't think in too much. Actions move you forward. So just that decision that you have in your heart and push it and make friends, you know, go outside, expand your network. Most people and I know because I know a lot of people who came from the same place than me, and they stick with themselves, and they have that little group, and they never go out. What happened is you're living in your old country among same people, and you don't open your network. So you don't know how the culture works, how people operate, and you isolate yourself. So that's not a great deal. So you need to open. Who is from New Zealand? I want to know these people, how they talk, how they behave, and become, you know, I decide to become a Kiwi. So what New Zealand is like, oh, we like rugby. So I watch rugby, see the All Blacks, and it's incredible how they, you know, and the haka, and you feel that. So you feel that thing. And up that, I became so part of it that when I talk with my parents, we can see the difference. I'm unable to speak Portuguese very well. I'm forgetting things, and I need to speak my father in English because he speaks English. My mom is not very happy because it's her language, and she feel like, eh. But that's how the mind, and so whatever you put in your mind and you set yourself to do, you become that. That's and I can testify this. It's true because I've changed from one culture to another, and from one person that used to live in there to a completely different one. Today I'm in Susan's live show, you know. So who told me back in the days that when it was vacuum the floor and cleaning bathroom that one day it's gonna happen? But that feeling side, you know, things gonna get better. Now you will reach your goals, you reach your dreams. It will happen.
That is such amazing advice. So stay in hope, right? And then take action. Don't just sit there. And even if you feel, what I'm hearing from you, even if you feel sorry for yourself, even if you're frustrated, take action. And then make friends and immerse yourself in a culture. And I know my son listens to the show. My nephews listen to the show. Like college kids listen to the show. It doesn't matter if you're going to a new school, a new city, a new work environment. Your network is your net worth. And that's a huge game changer. So how did you go about meeting people for business, because you were working before you started businesses? So how did you go about expanding your network in that way? It's one thing to talk to people when you're looking for a job or you're looking for your next opportunity. How did you meet those people?
I'm quite old school sometimes. One of the times when just COVID hits, I decide, okay, I need to do something. How can I benefit my town? How can I help Queenstown? So I grabbed the phone and I called the council and say, look, I want to talk with the mayor. And I was like, how can I just call and ask, talk to the mayor, and they start to making questions, say, oh, the mayor is very busy, blah, 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 and say, no, I need to talk. What do you want to talk to? I say, it's with the mayor. I can't, you know, always very polite, obviously, but end up that I get the meeting with the mayor. So what I do is actually grab the phone, if I have the way to, and contact, or LinkedIn invites. Usually I don't write too much. I flick, and if, you know, and I get the contact, then I flick a message and say, hey, my name is George. I'm doing such a thing. And it's how I do. Just get in touch. We tend to feel scared and, oh, what if? And then we analysis, paralysis by analysis, we start thinking too much and we don't take action. And it's just a phone call, you know, for more than someone else is very busy out there. Maybe it's actually the right time. They actually need to, you know, they're expecting something that you might be offering. And, you know, you only know if you take that action, if you flick that email, if you flick that DM, you know, or use the phone.
George, I love that. And I think, you know, I think about how often people do get in their head and they tell themselves a story. And here you are in New Zealand. Your first language isn't English. Apparently it's not Portuguese anymore. Either. Your mom is listening.
Sorry, mom.
Yeah. Well, and just calling to speak to the mayor. And that a lot of people would say, wow, you know, I don't have that courage, but that courage is developed over time. So can you talk about, since this is raw and real entrepreneurship, can you talk about a time that didn't work? So you picked up the phone and maybe someone hung up on you or they said something mean to you.
Actually, I feel this when it doesn't work, when people don't reply my emails. It's a lady. I saw her and I say, wow, she's such a great entrepreneur and I need a mentor. So I flick her an email and say, hey, my name is George. I'm looking for a mentor. Would you be interested to mentor me? And it's like, yes or no. You know, Steve always try to avoid the no's, but at this time I want a feedback. So I wasn't looking for a real yes. I just wanted that validation. Someone actually read my email and say, no, I'm sorry, I'm too busy. But it didn't happen. So I send another one and say, hey, I would like to follow up that email, blah, 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 blah. I know you're busy, but just give me a feedback. And it didn't happen. I say, oh, goodness. So that feeling of being ignored somehow, I tried to think like, oh, maybe it's the wrong email. Or maybe they couldn't see because it's too many emails. But yeah, it to me, especially because email is something that I kind of expecting sometimes have an answer. It's like, it didn't work. It kind of keep it, push a little bit down, but we can't. We need to be like a birthday candle. You know, the old school birthday, and you blow and then they grow again and they blow. And then we need to have that. So as entrepreneurs, we need to be that flame always coming back, no matter how many no's or being ignored. We need to keep lightening.
Your perspective is so unique. And that is why I know that you are going to be you're already successful, but the next level of success, because I want everyone to grasp what George just said. When I don't get the email back, then I'm going to send another email and I would rather get a no just to know that this person's acknowledging me than not hear at all. And most people, they don't want that no. And that's the show is about highlighting people's unique abilities or how they transcend challenges. And you've certainly transcended many. Let's talk about how you started your first business in New Zealand, right? And I'll tell Glenn the story when I speak to him. I'm talking to him in a couple of weeks.
Nice. Send my hello. Actually, my first was very interesting because when you start working in New Zealand, you'll be too sponsored by your employer. And I was sponsored by a supermarket. And then I decided, you know what? I want to open my business. I need to take action. So I go to the internet and see how to open a business in New Zealand. And I opened my business right there in a moment, pay the fees, everything. And I say, okay, now I have my IT business. And now I couldn't run my business because I cannot get paid. And it's like, because you have what they call here is IRD code, which is kind of a social number in the United States. So you need to have that attached to your payment. And because you sponsored, you only can have money from your sponsor. You cannot have money from somewhere else. And I got to that situation. It's like, okay, I have my business and I cannot run my business because I'm a sponsor. And I was expecting the system to tell me, no, you cannot open a business because you sponsor from someone. So I have to call immigration and say, hey, that's what happened. And say, no, you cannot run your business. And they take everything very serious. So everything it could actually be detrimental to your situation. I say, no, I didn't know it. So what I've done, I go to the chamber of commerce and say, hey, that's the situation. So they give me some advice and I had to close. So my business was probably a week and then I have to shut down. And I was so terribly sad because I was so proud of myself. I opened a business by myself. But yeah, and then it was fearful and experience. So I've learned how to do. So when I opened my other company, it was much easier. So it was a school, but it was exciting and sad in the same time.
Yes. And if anyone has immigrated to a country, that's exactly how it works. So when we came to America, we had business visas. So to operate a business in America, but I couldn't go work at a supermarket because I could only work for my own business. So it depends on the kind of visa that you have. So I'm really curious, how did you change that? Because for anyone who is listening, who's never immigrated, you might not know the complexity of it. It's not so simple. Like you don't just say, hey, I want to come to the United States or, you know, wherever it is that you want to go. And New Zealand has a new visa. I was talking to my friend John about this. So it's called the No Questions Asked Visa. And if you pay $10 million, you can come in, no questions asked. But for the rest of the people who aren't spending the $10 million, who come in like George to a country and you have a job. So how did you change that situation? It's not always so easy to change your visa. No, so I'm very curious.
It took ages. It took 5 years. So every year, because I was on a... So every year I need to renew that visa. So what happened when you renew a visa, they will advertise your role. Mm-hmm. So they need to give that role to someone in New Zealand, say, hey, I want to work there. So you lose your job and you need to probably come back. So that tension is constantly every year. So every year was panicking because they need to advertise my role and maybe someone could apply and I need to go back. So during 5 years, I've been on this drama. Until a company, actually a friend of mine who works to a company said, hey, we need a water operator. Why don't you come and, you know, and say, I have no experience in water. I say, you'll be right. So I did the interview. And the funny thing is, after the interview, they didn't hire me. It took 6 months. I calling every single Tuesday to follow up. And they say, sorry, next week, sorry, next week, sorry, next week. And that manager didn't stop working on that company. And one of my visits to follow up, I go there and I met that guy. He's from Scotland. And then we chatting, you know, say, I'm looking for this the manager such and such because he offered me this job. And then he said, oh, he's not working here anymore. Actually, I took his place. And it's like, oh, really? So we kind of did a quick interview. And then he said, you know what? I like your enthusiasm. So what I'll do? So they offer me what they call a talent visa. So the talent visa was the most special for me because it means that the company wants you so badly that they will give you a residency. So you work for 2 years. And after 2 years, you apply your residency. And then after the residency, then you're free. So it was challenging because during those 2 years, also many ups and downs and a lot of things happened. But I'm very grateful for that company on that day that they changed. I still need to work for them for that 2 years. But after 2 years, I was free. I could go whatever I want to do, whatever I wanted. It's hard to move to a different country. You kind of become a prisoner. You know, you need to follow that restrictions, and it's not pleasant. They will find things, you know, they will read everything about you. They will scrutinate your whole life, which someone who born in here doesn't have to pass through it. And they get so granted, oh yeah, I born in Queenstown, and then you not even see the beauty of Queenstown anymore because they're so used to it. New Zealand is a gorgeous place. Most people don't even realize it.
Yeah. You 5 years you wait, and then you work at a job for 2 years. And I hope everyone understands this, because it's, you said it yourself. There was something about going to New Zealand. And so often we feel these nudges of our hearts, and we, you know, we're like, oh yes, I want to follow this nudge. I want to start a business. I want to start a podcast. I want to do whatever it is. And then when things get challenging, most people give up, but you didn't. And you endured it to get to the point where you could actually start a business. Right. And I love what you said, you know, in 2 years, I'd be free. And the number one reason, as you know, people start a business is to be free. But it sounds like to me, you appreciated that freedom differently than a lot of people do.
Yeah. People tend to enslave themselves in that freedom feeling, that freedom vision. And they put that, oh, but it doesn't really happen like that. So when you leave the thing in your flesh, and you have that, things happening to you, you just cannot leave the flow and just go with the flow. You need to take action, and you need to stand by what you believe. Mm. I think, most people cannot understand just because they're from there. They grow up, and they change the culture is not easy. As open a business is not easy, become successful people are, but you need to feed your mind. It become in your mind, inside you, and then things will happen outside.
Yeah, as we shift internally, the things we experience shift. And I love the wisdom that you're sharing. It makes me think of, so one of the longtime listeners and fans of the show, her name is Jessica. And Jessica moved from the New York City area to Phoenix, Arizona last year during COVID. And her family was saying, you're crazy. Why are you leaving? She knew maybe a couple of people here, myself included. And the first thing, she joins meetup groups, and she joins a church. And she's like, you know, suddenly I'm texting her, how are you doing? She's like, oh, well, I'm going hiking 5 times this weekend with all these different people, and I'm doing this. And the next thing, you know, and it's that immersion. And that's what's so important in business. And when we make these life changes, a lot of people listening, they're trying to develop the courage to even start a business. And they think it's hard, even though they live somewhere where they don't have the constraints of a visa, or perhaps they don't have government sort of over, you know, looking over their shoulder. They have the freedom to do it, and they're so scared and paralyzed. But what I'm hearing from you is just jump in. So tell everyone about your business now. I know that you've got a new startup, and it's like your baby. So tell everyone what you're doing.
Actually, I get excited. Hawthorne is, I pretty much started from zero as usual. And at this stage, it's pretty much me. So I'm the market guy. I'm the developer. I'm the CEO. I'm the cleaner. I'm everybody. But it's digital assets. So the way that I see, and it's, I see as a first, the idea born because I'm a customer. I was unhappy the way the things was being doing with my soft copies. You know, when you buy a game or a book or a DVD, you're free to choose if you want to sell it or if you want to give it But to digital content, it doesn't happen the same way. You are stuck with it. Whatever, if you don't have the console anymore, or you are stuck with that, you can't do anything. So Hawthorne born with this idea, how can we change this? How can we actually make a digital copy certificated, unique? Not unique as NFTs, but a fungible. So, because Mona Lisa is a non-fungible. It's only one Mona Lisa you can have. But if I get a dollar and say, Susan, you want to change this dollar to this dollar, it's the same thing. So the value is the same. So how can we bring this to the digital content? So that's that my mind is stuck. Okay, we can do this, we can do that. And but yeah, I need a co-founder. I need a tech guy who helped me jump over, because I have the whole thing, but I can't do all together. But once again, it's no excuses. So I'm doing everything. So I'm doing the website, and I started coding, because I said,
which language are you coding?
I was going to do, I actually start Swift. I love Swift. But C++ seems more, but C++ also, Swift get C++. So I'm kind of, so I start in C++, and I want to bring back to Swift. I really want to do in Swift, most because I'm an Apple person.
Me too.
And I do have shares, so I don't feel embarrassed or shy or anything to say Apple, because I do have shares. So please buy Apple.
Yeah, me too. Shares. Yeah, I own shares of Apple. Yep.
So I want to my business grow. So I want to do in Swift. But I'm thinking about the developers out there who might not be in Swift guys. So I want to make it easier. So I kind of have a one part of the code in Swift, one part in C. And yeah, but I'm not a developer. So I'm pretty sure when they come and see, how did you get this? And say, well, no excuse, I need to do it. So I'm doing my best as I can, and put my all effort and learning to make this happen.
So I met George online, right? No excuses. We just started this dialogue, and I love interviewing people who are at the early stage of founding a company and hearing their stories. And for those of you who don't know, so one of the things that I always say in terms of companies I invest in is you invest in people. Right? There's lots of great technology out there, but someone like George, who has endured challenges, who always figures out a way, who's not afraid to pick up a phone, or in this case, write in multiple, you know, languages, or maybe, you know, who knows, maybe tomorrow he's going to be coding in Python. Some people still do, you know, we still do at Radius. But, you know, it's just this whole willingness, and you know, he's going to be successful. Right. And some of the startups that I mentor were doing crowdfunding raises on WeFunder. And again, there's a lot of great technology, but do you have the right person at the helm? Do you have the right people? Are they humble enough? Are they willing to pick themselves up after they fall down? And so when I met George online, and I don't often invite people to be on the show, because I just had a meeting today, George and my assistant May, she's like got this list of people. I'm like, yes, yes, no, yes, you know, but she's like, who's this George person that applied? He said, you said to him. I said, he did. I did send him. Like, I want him to be on the show, because I knew there was something special about you. My question is this, you know, there are people who are listening right now who are going through some really tough times. There's a lot of uncertainty. We don't know if the Delta variant is going to lock people in again. There are people who maybe don't want to go back to their job because they don't want to be in an office, or whatever's going on. What advice would you give to that person who's really struggling right now and says, you know what, George, I'd love to start a business. I'd love to, you know, have a different kind of freedom, quote unquote. What advice would you give to them?
I'll answer this with a story. And it happened a few weeks ago. It's sad, but it ends up happy. Mm-hmm. So a few weeks ago, my wife texts me and say, hey, can you reach out to my sister? She's not replying. And she sent me a weird letter to her ex-husband. And then I say, hey, sis, how are you doing? And she didn't reply. And my wife was freaking out. So I came back home, I go for a shower. Then she came screaming, my sister killed herself. And I say, what? My sister killed herself. She cut her wrists. And she started crying and screaming, crying on my shoulder. I wish I was in a better situation because I was fully naked, wet, and she was hugging me. But she was crying and crying and crying. And I say, oh, my goodness. And say, baby, it's okay. Keep testing. Call someone. And then she go on this mission to find out what happened with her sister. So she called people, and it was very, very busy. And up that, because the police, when got there, they say, sorry, it's nothing that we can do. So they already considered her dead. But she said, no, you check on her. And then she asked to her friend to go and check. So, and take her to the hospital. When they move her, she shows signs of consciousness. So she's still alive. So they grab quickly her to the hospital. And it took hours. So imagine how here without reaching her, because she's in China, to figure out things. So end up, long story short, they put blood on her, and she's still alive. And I wasn't going to work or do anything the next day. I was planning to stay with my wife and support her. But next morning, she wake up and she was getting ready to school. And I say, wow. And she say, oh, you're not going to do your stuff? And I say, no, I was going to stay with you. No, I'm fine. Her thing was, she didn't lose her sister. Her sister was well and alive. So we move on. We keep things running. And I say, you know what? You're right. So I go out and I start doing my things. And interestingly enough, on that day, I had a meeting with a guy who was thinking get a mentorship from him. And he was late, 20 minutes late. He called me and said, hey, look, sorry, I'll be late. And I learned from Steve Sims, like, you need to be respectful with your time and people's time. So when he called me and say, I'm late, I say, oh, hold on, there's a second time, and say, it's not working. So I try to calm down myself, and I call him and say, look, that's what happened with me yesterday, and I'm here to have this meeting, and you just don't feel like you're not, you know, excited enough. That's not how it works. So I don't think it will ever happen again, because it just doesn't work this way. So I thank you for, you know, the chance, but I don't want to carry on. So bad things happen, but the way that you move things and you make them differently, it depends only on you. Glenn always said, try to see the silver lines. And I was like, how can I see the silver lines? You know, my sister-in-law just trying to kill herself. And, you know, but it does, because then when my wife said, oh, I'm going to school, and she was happy because her sister was alive, I say, that's it. That's the silver lines. You know, things happen, but we cannot have the luxury to be bent over by the situation. You need to stand tall and fight and move forwards. So if you feel down, don't let that feeling get you down. Stand up. It hurts. It hurts a lot. But start doing things. Pick up your phone. You know, check. Watch out to media as well, because we watching a lot of drama, especially my wife. She loves drama. And I say, baby, our life is dramatic because we're watching too much drama. Stop watching drama. And it's changing. Today she was listening how to empower girls in developing. And she's not IT at all, but how you teach girls to develop and coding. It's like, oh, that's great, because she taught me a lot of things, even though she's on counseling and she can't counsel. But our relationship is very interesting, how we help each other daily and support each other. So don't feel down. Keep moving. You know, have your dream and your goals. You know, see what move you, what make your heart sing. You know, that thing that make your heart sing, and stick to it, and stick to it, and make it, and make it happen. Take action.
George, you have such a beautiful soul, and I want everyone to remember this interview, because when George is on the cover of Forbes and Fortune, one thing I'm actually really good at is talent spotting. And I knew it from day one. And George mentioned Steve Sims, the Concierge to Billionaires. A lot of the guests have listened to that particular show with Steve, and it's funny. That's one. I love Steve. He's one of my favorite humans, and definitely it's a great, great show. So George, thank you so much for being here. I am so excited for you in this journey with your new company. I can't wait to check in with you and see if you're coding in 13 languages in a couple of weeks. Because it could happen. And I'm half joking, but not totally joking, because I know what happens with IT, and you get in there and you start.
It's a crazy world. And I'm not IT so much anymore. I've been to a investors meeting, and then they see a businessman in front of them, and they want a tech guy. That's why I'm so desperate to find a tech guy, because they like me. They were like, but they said, no, you were a business guy, because this particular one was composed by tech guys, and they want someone who speaks IT. I'm not that guy anymore. I'm business. So it's interesting. I hope I get things figured out.
You will. And for anyone who's watching or listening, if you want to be George's tech guy, message him on LinkedIn.
I'm here. Yeah.
You never know. And that I love, and I just say this with my whole heart, that your humility, your tenacity, I know I'm inspired today. I love this conversation. I want to have you back in a couple of months. We're going to check in and keep checking in with where the company is, and in front of thousands of people around the world. Here's my commitment to you. Once you get your funding, I will introduce you to Glenn Stearns.
Awesome. Yay.
You never know. You might be a future undercover billionaire, right?
Actually, I proposed to Discover and say, hey, look, how about now you got undercover proof, so you can make someone who been successful to do it again. How about test the mentorship? Take someone and take the mentor and put that together to see how it works. They didn't reply yet, but anywho's maybe now he's out there. Now
yeah, exactly. Discovery. Yeah. And Glenn has a second show on Discovery Plus as well. And for those of you watching and listening, if you go to agency8.com, it's the agency I own, you can find out about the event that Glenn is speaking at virtually. So everyone's invited. And George, thanks again for being here. You have just, you're destined for success. So that's the bottom line. What's the best way for everyone to connect with you and follow your adventures?
Everywhere. LinkedIn, Facebook, you name it, YouTube, TikTok. I don't post much on TikTok, but I did open an account on TikTok everywhere, pretty much. You just George with a J, Purgley, and that's me.
Yes, absolutely follow George, and not the other George Purdley on Instagram, because that's not the same George Purdley. Just an FYI.
It's my father. If it's a beard, a big beard.
Yes, it's a big beard.
That's my father. That's my father. We have the same. So if you see someone younger, that's me.
You can follow George's father too. Suddenly your dad's Instagram is going to go up by thousands of people.
I'm on Instagram as well, but I think I put to Mr. J because then it was only me.
Yes. Well, thank you so much, George. It's been wonderful to have you. And I'm so excited for all of your adventures. For everyone watching, listening, go ahead and give George and I, we'd love a 5-star review. Reach out. Don't forget to DM, email, do anything. Go to susanslide.com if you have comments about the show or questions. I'd love to get back to you, because my team actually sends all of them to me. So with that, God bless. Go rock your day. And we'll see you in a future episode.
To find out more about Susan or hire her to speak, go to www.susanslide.com. You can also find Susan on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn.